This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Randall, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday. Sean is with us remotely this morning. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. This is my best look, too.
That's because, the term radio face is a real thing.
Oh, I got a face for newspaper.
And, you know, it's black and white, right?
Oh, my word.
People never look like they sound. Like, I guarantee people listening right now, they have it in their mind's eye what I look like and what you look like and what Randall looks like. And I assure you, we look nothing like what that picture looks like.
I am so thankful for the internet because they, at least if they do their homework, they find out. I mean, because, people of a certain age in radio, they don't understand what it was like before the internet. Because somebody listening, oh, he has a sexy voice, or whatever they might think. And their expectations were so completely out of bounds. Okay, fall in love with an actor because you know what they look like on the screen. don't get attached to a voice and then expect everything. I mean, even if you're, semi-decent looking, you're still not going to match the wild expectations.
Well, you got a nice
like
voice.
As if they
Sean.
Were reading a romance novel.
There you go. You got a nice radio voice. I'll give you that. That's how far I'll go. You got a nice radio voice.
Hey, the rest of me is up on blocks in the front yard.
I got to do something last night. The things you take for granted, right? That were gone during COVID. Went to a junior high school band concert in Bunker Hill. It was fantastic. It was a beautiful job by all the kids involved in the band. And, Sean, I thought about this a lot during the football season as well. You don't get it quite as much during the basketball. You get some pep band flavor for sure. But during football season, when that high school band is out there performing the national anthem and then doing their halftime show, there is really not much more for a high school sporting event to me that brings it home than when the high school band is out there doing their thing.
I'm telling you, it's special. One of the things I'm not fond of right now when you go to Illini football games, and I don't know, I haven't been to a basketball game in a few years, the fact that the band's no longer on the 50. There's less band, and there's more music like you hear at NBA, NHL. You know what? It's like college sports is different. That's one of the things I love. Even if the Illini had a tough afternoon, I love the band and hearing, hey, baby, and everything else. So, yeah, bands just, and what's a parade without a high school band?
It's not a parade at all. And I tell you what, there's only one thing that is better to me than when the high school band performs the national anthem before a game, when a high school student goes out there and rocks it a cappella. I don't know how they do it.
There are some special kids out there. Yeah, I mean, it's always one of those things when I was, doing public address over the years. And, some girl comes up, hands me a slip, or a guy once in a while, with a slip with their name on it, and say, oh, that's nice. This kid's got the confidence and the courage. It's not easy to sing in front of several hundred people, maybe over 1,000. And all of a sudden, it's like the voice of an angel. And it's just unbelievable. Like, wow.
Now, I make my services available after the game. If you want to get the gym cleared out, give me the microphone. I'll belt a few notes. We'll have that puppy cleared out of there real quick. Like,
I am here in case somebody needs a version of O Canada, in case you bring like a Canadian team to a shootout. But I still haven't adapted to the gender-neutral change in the Canadian national anthem, but I'll get there.
You'll get there eventually. Hey, I tell you where we got was the T-Toad shootout versus cancer. It was a wonderful, wonderful day 1 week ago. And again, thanks to all of the people from the Montgomery County Cancer Association for their time and their volunteering. Kevin Reedy and all the folks at Nokomis, all the things they did leading up to the shootout and the day of the event. Just hats off and thank you very much. And to Louis Lang and all of the officials who were involved. It was just a beautiful day, and I know it would have made Tito proud.
Oh, yeah, it really is outstanding. What such a great gym, and it really is. It's a process. We want to make sure you get it right. And I know my old high school. They moved into a new gym. I haven't been in it yet, and I'm interested to see. It wasn't exactly a Hinkle Fieldhouse or anything, but you know, trying to move the transition from the old gym to the new one. I think they did a great job. And I think they set us up with a great situation to help call basketball games. I think I saw the same across the way with the visitors, the visiting broadcast crews. Having that perch and the fact that they put that into the game plan for the new gym, you know, we got that little area to broadcast, and we're not pinched into a cubby hole. Tells you about the thought process over there in the coach.
Well, Terry told some stories about in the old gym about broadcasting from the stage, and the phone line often wouldn't work, so he'd have to make an emergency call, like as the varsity was warming up to get his phone line going. It always got going, though. It always got going. And, you know, old gym, new gym, it'll always be the new gym. You know, it's been around for almost 20 years now. 30 years from now, it'll still be the new gym. We've got a shed on the farm that we built 30 years ago, but it's the last shed we built. So you know what we call it? The new shed.
Yeah, it takes a while.
It does. But, yeah, like the new gym, and you think about just all of the great events that have happened in that old gymnasium, of course, you know, Monica McDowell, that's where she was doing her thing in the late 90s. And I know Terry would always talk about how when they built that new gym, I think there was some people who maybe were a little leery about, like, I don't know if we want to leave, you know, what we got. But as soon as they saw that facility, it was like, okay, this is fantastic.
You know, progress isn't always a beautiful thing, but sometimes it does work out. It's certainly a classic example of it working out there. The NoCo Dome, as I wanted to call it, but I won't.
I think you just did, though. Hey, we got a good show for you today. Coming up, we're going to talk with Joe Allstott. He's the Greenville Athletic Director, of course. They've got a shootout going on today, and he is obviously knee-deep in getting the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic ready to go. It'll be back in person this year. But, Sean, one of the neat things, I guess, or one of the positives from the fully virtual event they had a year ago is they're going to maintain some of that this year, and it really allows them to get a completely different type of speaker. They never had trouble getting high-level guests before, but the ability for some of these guys just to do it Zoom or drop in a video, I mean, they are getting the who's who in the sports world in terms of speakers. So we're going to talk to Joe Allstott about all that. We're going to talk with Aaron Duff, as he was elected into the Illinois Football Coaches Hall of Fame this week. They will have the ceremony coming up in March. We'll talk with Duffy coming up about that honor. And we're going to talk Staunton girls basketball with Corey Allen, their head coach. As Sean, they're one of those. They're an exciting, fun group of youngsters.
Boy, they are on a roll and resilient too. I mean, you just kind of look at the way they play basketball. A lot of balance. I mean, they share and share alike and seem to know how to ride the hot hand when it comes to, you know, you just kind of look at a synopsis of a game and somebody's hitting three buckets in a row, then somebody else is hitting three buckets in a row. They know how to share the wealth and, definitely buy into the team concept. Got to get more people in the stands because they're a fun team going places.
You know, it's always interesting, I think, when one of the great athletes becomes a coach in the area. And, of course, that's what Corey Allen is doing. She was one of the premier softball pitchers. You know, really, we've had a great run of softball elite pitching here in the WSMI listening area. And Corey Allen, she was at the forefront of that back in the day for Gillespie. So now here she is coming full circle coaching now. And it's always fun to see the great athletes give back.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. There's nothing like someone who's been there and understands the grind, the ups and downs, and someone who's been through it in that town. You can't put a price tag on that.
So we get to our first break here on Sports Saturday. We also, of course, have Fighting Illini basketball coming up today. They've had a week off for finals. St. Francis, PA in town today, 11 o'clock pregame over on 105.3 The Ox. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will catch up with Joe Allstott, talk about their shootout today and the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic when Sports Saturday continues.
Now back to the WSMI's Sports Saturday Show with Tim Mize and Sean Bolint.
All right, Randy Prangy, thank you very much. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. And on the phone with us right now is Greenville Athletic Director Joe Allstott. Good morning, Joe.
Good Good morning, fellas. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us. And it's not like you got much going on. You know, you work on a little turf project for a while. You get the I-70 baseball coaches clinic scheduled for a while. Put together a basketball shootout. You got a lot of irons in the fire, man.
Well, yeah, you're right. I do. And it's a busy time for sure, but it's rewarding. It's fun. And it keeps me on my toes, that's for sure.
Talk to me about the shootout here, Joe, just about the origins of it and how fun of a day it'll be.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago we started a Comet Quad, mm-hmm. Which was we had four teams come and everybody would play two games. We played two games in the afternoon. We'd take a break and feed all the teams, and we played two games in the evening. And basically we've just taken that Comet Quad and added two games into the middle of the day and just turned it into a shootout. So we've brought in some really good teams. We should have some good matchups, and it should be a pretty good day of basketball.
Well, I know, Coach, the boosters over there, they've done a great job raising money for turf and everything else. And when I think of boosters, I think of the folks at Bradford National Bank, my buddy Randy Alderman, and a big part of the tradition. I still remember his sharpshooter daughter, Cassidy, draining threes right and left. I know they've stepped up in a big way to help make this happen.
Well, they really have, and, you know, I've been the athletic director for 15 years, and Bradford National Bank has just been a huge pillar in our athletic department with all kinds of projects we've had going on and different things they want to do. Their logos are all over T-shirts that we do, and as you say, that they're a huge donor in our turf project. So Bradford is just a huge part of what we've done, and they've allowed us to really do some great things for our kids. And not only our high school athletic department, but our community as a whole. So many things that happen in Greenville have help from Bradford National Bank, and it's really awesome to see in a small town.
Speaking of the kids, Joe, the mood this year has to just be drastically different than it was this past spring.
Oh, it definitely is, you know, and, you know, we're still not normal, as I'd like to call it, because, you know, we look around, you see so many teams that have had to stop games, cancel games, things like that. We are fortunate that we have not had to do that yet. Hopefully not at all. But it is a different, you know, you get your regular seasons back as far as we're not playing a six-week season. We have post-seasons. We have a lot of good things for kids and for their athletic career. You know, they only get 4 years in high school, and to have them robbed of one or two of those years is hurtful. It's a crime. I hate it for the kids. But I'm just glad that this year has been more normal than it has been the past couple.
Well, I know Father McGivney out of Maryville. It's never easy to start up a high school in these days and times, but it sounds like they're finding their way as an athletic program.
And, oh, they really are.
Taking part in the opener with girls basketball.
They really are, and their baseball team, I think, placed in the state last year in 1A. They were really good. We actually played them on our field, and I think last spring we beat them 1-2 maybe or something, a really close game. But they've got some talented kids there, and our girls have actually played them this year. We played them in the Columbia tournament, and they put it to us a little bit. So we're hoping to get back a little bit at them, and they start off our shootout. But McGinney's done a really good job with building things from the ground up, that's for sure.
Hillsboro will be part of that today. They will take on Muscoota. That's the 4:30 game. And then your boys, they get to play twice today.
They play twice. You're right. We didn't do them any favors. They're going to play one of the top teams in 1A at Altamont, and then they're going to play a Monticello team, who I think a top 20 team in 2A. So Monticello will play two games as well. They've been coming to our quad for years. So they just kind of stayed in it, and we'll both play two games today.
I know the logistics are unbelievable, getting an officiating crews. I know it was quite an endeavor for the shootout. How difficult is that part of the process?
Well, you got to get on it early, and, you know, like I said, luckily I've been doing this for a while, so I've got some good contacts and know a lot of the top crews around and want to bring those guys in. So hiring officials as a whole has been tougher, so much tougher the last few years for all levels and for all sports, to be honest with you. But, you know, when you have a cancellation, you're really scrambling to try to get that filled. But we're lucky to have six games today and six really good crews working them, so that's a good part.
And, Joe, of course, you have enormous contacts throughout all sorts of different areas, and it really comes in handy when we get to the I-70 Baseball Coaches Clinic. As just, it seems impossible, but each year you seem to top yourself with what you did the prior year with this event.
Well, I think that's the goal with everything you do in life, right? You always try to make it better with whatever you do, and there's no exception to that. You know, last year our clinic was all virtual, so that was a whole new animal we were tackling, and we had I think 20-something speakers, and it was just a lot of extra work, to be honest with you, as far as contacting and getting all that taken care of and done. But it allowed, you know, we saw our numbers almost double, so that made you think, well, maybe this is something we need to look at. So with this year's clinic format, we're going back to live clinic like we've had for 18 years, but we're also adding another 20 virtual sessions for coaches that register. They'll be able to have access to those on demand. So they'll get the live clinic, but also another 20 sessions that they can watch whenever they want. So, you know, like you said, we're always trying to get something better, make it better, and improve things, and hopefully this is another step in the right direction.
Well, I know in this area, certainly we appreciate that catching in the game of baseball is a science. I mean, the home to the late, great Ray Schalk, and boy, to bring Tanner Swanson in, catching coach of the Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees, that's a neat find.
Yeah, Tanner was with us last year at our virtual clinic. He was supposed to be live, but he ended up recording a session last year, and he's phenomenal. He's really good. He's cutting edge, and he's got a lot of different ideas that challenge other people's thinking. This year, though, for our clinic, we've got Tom Griffin, who's a really big catching guru and the head coach at Carson Newman University in Tennessee. And he's going to do a couple catching sessions virtually there. So, but like you said, Tim, our contacts have just grown and grown with doing this 19 years. You know, if you ever need help getting in touch with somebody and you know somebody who may help you, usually they do. And, you know, the baseball community is really giving and just a great community to be a part of, that's for sure.
You know, Joe, I think about this clinic, and, you know, baseball is in the title, and it's a baseball-centric event for sure. But I know, especially last year with the virtual aspect, you branched out beyond just the game of baseball and just got some people just from the world of sports in general, because any coach will tell you it doesn't matter their sport. Coaching is relating to people.
Well, you're exactly right, and last year we brought, not brought in, but we had Jay Billis and John Calipari record sessions. And, man, that was just kind of out of the box thinking, you know, just trying to think of some different topics. But like you said, coaching is coaching, no matter if you're coaching baseball or football or bass fishing. You know, it's the coaching principles are all the same in everything you teach or coach. So we had some good feedback from that last year, and we thought this is a great, pretty good thing to do. And, you know, a lot of speakers, that when you approach them about speaking at a baseball coach's clinic, they like that. That's something different they haven't done before. So we did the same this year. We expanded with a few more. We have Anson Durant, the women's soccer coach at North Carolina, who's got 24 national championships. And, you know, Sherry Cole is a retired Oklahoma women's basketball coach. And Pat Williams used to be the Orlando Magic general manager that drafted Shaquille O'Neal, and Dan Gable, probably the greatest amateur wrestler in our country's history. So, and he also won like 15 national wrestling championships at Iowa. So we've reached out to many others out of the baseball world and just in the coaching world, and try to make our clinic better for sure.
I'll tell you, I want to go back to Tim Corbin. What a story. He has been down there in Music City, USA, landing College World Series titles a couple last decade, and let's just talk about what it takes to be successful there. Vanderbilt, it's been a long time since they have been known for athletic prowess, and to build an institution there, build a monster like he has down in Nashville, really stands out, because, you know, they have their moments in basketball. They never seem to find their way in football, so he is really built something where, you know, maybe it's not the easiest place to build an institution.
No, he's definitely built that from the ground up. And, you know, that's probably the best baseball program in the country, widely regarded, which is amazing. Because, like you said, that's probably their premier program in their athletic department that doesn't win a lot. You know, but it's funny, just Coach Corbin and I have been emailing and talking probably for over 10 years. And he always returns your email the day within 24 hours, and he'll call you back, text you back. He is just a, you know, phenomenal person. And We've never actually had him here in Greenville, even though he was supposed to come last year. We had to obviously cancel it, and he did a virtual session for us. But we're going to get him to Greenville one of these years. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to make it live before, but we'll get him here at some point.
So how many, what's the numbers looking like here in terms of – because I know there's people that come – they cross state lines to come to this thing now.
Oh, yeah. The last several years we had coaches appear from 8 to 10 different states all around the Midwest. We have coaches sometimes that have flown in to St. Louis and rented a car and drove over. So that's pretty cool. We never saw that coming 18 years ago, that's for sure. But, yeah, coaches for multiple years. Now, this year's clinic is also going to be live streamed. Last year when we did virtual, we had, I think, coaches from 46 states and 3 different countries that were signed up and for our clinic. And we're hoping with the live stream option and the on-demand option that that will – well, those numbers will be very, very similar.
Three wow, different countries.
Three different wow. countries, that's right. Actually, it might have been 4. Germany, Australia, United States, and Korea. That's right. My son just yells Korea in the background. Yeah, Korea.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, in an era of, you know, where some people just want to spit out stats and exit velocity and all that stuff, to actually talk about the nuts and bolts of baseball fundamentals has to not only be valuable but refreshing.
Well, you know, the game has changed. There's no question about it at all levels, from the amateur level to the major league level. There's no doubt. But the nuts and bolts of it, the fundamentals of it have not changed. And, you know, you could talk different swing planes and things like that and different training regimens, but when you get between the white lines, you get in that batter's box, you're either going to hit it or you're not, or you're going to make the play or you're not. And you need to know where you're throwing it to and all those different fundamental things that sometimes are lacking in today's game. But with the coaches clinic, you know, we're open to coaches of all ages, from 8U to we have major league coaches that have paid to be in our audience before. So they're going to cover all areas of baseball, all levels. No matter what you coach, baseball, softball, whatever, you're going to get something out of this clinic, I promise you. And it's priced right. It's a great value. We feed you well, give out good door prizes, and it's just a really good couple days, and we are ecstatic to be live again. It's going to be great.
So, Joe, before we let you go here, dates, and I know you guys are all over the social media, but just the best way to get signed up, and when we're going to have this puppy.
So our clinic is always Martin Luther King weekend. So it'll be a 2-day clinic, the live part. Sunday, January 16th, rolls into Monday, January 17th. It's a 2-day clinic, like I said. Sunday evening, and then Monday it gets over about 2 o'clock. So our website, which is we've hired Hope Coaches Insider to do our virtual aspect, but they also handle our registration, which is awesome for me. It's one less thing I got to do. But they created a website for us, which is different than maybe if you Google I-70 Clinic, you're going to see a little bit older. But the website that our people want to see is i70.coachesinsider.com, and that will you can register right there online, i70.coachesinsider.com.
Sounds great. Joe, we always appreciate talking to you. Good luck with the clinic, obviously, and good luck with the shootout today. I know it'll go fantastic for you.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. And we're hoping to have you in the balcony there broadcasting. But I don't think WSMI is coming, so I've got to have to cut my hospitality room order probably in third.
At least in third, yes. But I'll be down there soon enough. I will be, absolutely. Okay. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Good seeing you.
All right.
Thank you, Tim.
That's Joe Allstott, the athletic director at Greenville. And, Sean, you know, Joe's one of those guys. He said he's been the AD there for 15 years, but he's one of those dudes. He don't look no older.
No, it must be the fountain of youth, I guess. Well, it's a beautiful thing.
The key is you got to eat just the right amount in the hospitality room, see? That keeps you young and vibrant. Yeah, that's science. You can look that
that's
up.
Where that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's right. We need to get to a
and
break here.
I apologize
here.
For using AOL to access I-70 baseball clinic information from this past January. It's like, oh, why is he bringing up the Hall of Fame of past visitors? So anyway, that's on my blooper reel.
It's always good to look back before you can look forward, you know.
Well, when you've got guys in your past like La Russa and Buck Showalter. I was blown away. I think I got caught up in that moment looking
Hey,
some of the guys who've been involved.
We're going to look ahead to a Hall of Famer. Aaron Duff, newest member of the Illinois Football Coaches Hall of Fame. They'll be inducted in March in Champaign. We will talk with Duffy when Sports Saturday continues.
Now back to the Sports Saturday show and WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Bolint.
All right, Randy Prangy, thank you so much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and we're happy to have Aaron Duff on the phone. And from this day forth, he shall always be known as Hall of Famer Aaron Duff. Congratulations, Duffy.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I mean, just talk to me about the moment when you realize, you know, is it like the pros where you're sitting around waiting for the phone call, but you don't answer because you thought it was a spam call?
Actually, yes. I got a phone call Monday evening. I didn't recognize the number, and I just like, okay, I'll see if they leave a voicemail. And it was a voicemail from Jeff Alderman over at Piasaw, and he's on the committee. And so I called him back, and I was totally shocked. I mean, you know, this is not on my radar at all. I guess I'm just old enough, and somebody felt sorry for me.
Well, it has to be gratifying because I just look at, I mean, you not only were involved in the all-encompassing work of coaching, but, you know, I mean, the legend is, oh, the coaches are going to coach P.E., or they're going to coach, you know, history. That's kind of the same year to year. And I mean, you coached, and then you took on tough academic subject areas to teach in. I don't know how you did it all.
A lot of my so-called friends say I'm just lucky. yeah, you know, I teach biology and science, and, you know, in the past several years, I've had two stints of doing AD stuff at the same time, and it keeps you busy and on your toes for sure. But I was, like I said, I was totally shocked by this. The coolest thing about it right now is all the former players that have been sending me messages and congratulating me, and it brings back a lot of good memories of all the different guys and kids that you've coached over the years.
Duffy, I mean, it's been said for anybody who's known you for any length of time, you've always been a Hall of Fame person. And I told you a number of times when we would talk on Saturday mornings that you had the right mentality for high school coaching. You understood what was important, but more importantly, you understood what wasn't important when it came to high school coaching.
I hope so. I really hope so. You know, a couple people have asked me, you know, when I got out of coaching last year, man, you got out of coaching, you had 99 wins, so you should have stayed in and got the 100. And, you know, 100 sounds great, but what's one more win, you know, when there's other things out there that matter, you know. You know, my family, you know, I can't thank them enough over the years. My wife, who's put up with me being angry week after week, and, you know, my kids, you know, and then, you know, I coached my son his freshman and sophomore year, and I got to sit back and watch him play this year, which is a new, you know, actually rewarding experience. So, coaching, it's all about the kids, helping them out. I mean, I've got better, I guess, more rewarding experiences with kids that I've kept on football teams that needed football more than football needed them. And I hope I've helped some kids along the way.
Well, clearly a great love for the alma mater. Just how difficult was that to move on the other side of the highway and move to Hillsboro after such a great run at Greenville, where you're, you know, building a program and you really reached that fever pitch as you know, neared that 2007-2008 territory?
Yeah, I mean, you know, leaving Greenville was tough because I knew there was going to be talent for a long time, and we had things rolling. I mean, I had great coaches. Todd Cantrell, who's the head basketball coach. Todd Hutchinson, who's the head baseball coach. We're all on the same staff together. We had some great things going. But, you know, my last year at Greenville, we went to the semifinals, and That one still haunts me a little bit. We lost in double overtime.
Was that the blocked extra point, Duffy?
That was the blocked extra point against Columbia in double overtime.
I was there. I saw that.
I still second-guess myself and should have went for two or not, but I lost to another great person, Scott Horner, who was my college quarterback at Greenville. Just with all those experiences and memories. But it was tough coming back to Hillsborough. But I wanted to be here. I loved where I grew up. I loved the high school that I graduated from. I wanted my kids to come to Hillsborough High School. There were some definite difficulties. People don't agree with you, what you do, and all of a sudden I forgot how to coach moving 20 miles down the road. those kind of things. But when it's all said and done, I wouldn't have changed the decision I made. I love the town I grew up in.
Duffy, of course, we think about the time at Greenville, we think about the time at Hillsborough, but you're a football lifer. Talk to me about football before you were the head coach at Greenville. Talk about who was crucial to you in terms of getting your kind of coaching fire lit.
Well, I mean, if you go back to high school, Coach Dave Ball, I had him as also my wrestling coach in high school. And obviously, Rich Stewart, he was at Hillsborough when I was a freshman. And then all of a sudden, I got to see him again as playing at Greenville College. He's definitely there. My college football coach, Max Bowman, who's, his philosophies and styles, and I talked to him over the years. He's coached in the NFL. A lot of great resources there. And then my teammates throughout college, a lot of them went on and became head coaches. I'd mentioned Scott Horner at Columbia. Brian Spooner is the head coach at Clifton Central. He just got into the Hall of Fame a couple years ago. So a lot of resources. My first start at Greenville as a JV coach for the first 6 years, all those guys down there helping me. It's just, you've got to be able to take criticism and look at other guys and listen to them and, sort of make your own way.
A lineman's perspective, and you look back at your career, when you think of program building, being a lineman as opposed to a skill player, does that help you build a full program better, you think, than some of these guys who, they think X's and O's, and they have maybe obviously a lot of success stories on that side of things, but I think sometimes you can get tunnel vision. Just the fact that you've fought those wars in the trenches so well back in your playing days.
I would say so. Linemen don't like those little skinny guy wide receivers out there that just talk trash every day. Us linemen had to actually go to practice and push the sled all day. Not those guys that just, especially kickers. You can't stand kickers either. I think so. Being a lineman, you've got to know a little bit of everything on offense and defense. You got to know the inner workings of stuff. And I think it did help me along the way.
Duffy, I'm not going to ask you who the best kid you coach was, because coaches hate those questions. What I am going to ask you, though, is over all those years, you had to have one kid that you just thought, man, that little rascal reminds me of me when I was that age.
There's been a lot of those. a lot of those, too many to mention. The best thing for me was getting to coach my kid the past couple of years, now I'm watching him. It was a very weird experience for me to go down to Greenville this year, the first game of the season, and I stood away from everybody because I didn't want to say anything on the sideline now that I'm more near all the parents and everybody else. But I stood underneath the scoreboard down there, and it was a pretty cool experience just to get to watch him and see that from that side of the ball.
What do you miss the most about coaching? I mean, that's I know it's one of those things. Boy, it's just it's such an it's got to be invigorating, draining every positive and negative emotion at times. But what's the toughest thing about not calling the shots under the Friday night lights?
Not the games or anything like that. It's the relationships with the kids every day. Just being around the kids and hearing their stories and joking around with them, you know, hanging around the locker room, those kind of things I miss the most. Believe it or not, practices I have probably missed more than the games. That's where you get, you know, the real stuff done and get to know your kids at practice.
Duffy, finally, I can only imagine what Stritzel and Van Giesen are doing to you here. I can only imagine.
Well, I haven't heard from Van Giesen yet, but Stritzel every single day has had a crack for me. So, I was leaving school the other day. I don't know, maybe I left a minute early, and he goes, "Well, you know, Hall of Famers get to do that now." That kind of stuff. But, you know, that's the fun part about it, too, guys like that. A lot of the texts I've been getting from, you know, my so-called friends that are now. I think Jason Burke yesterday called me the Hoth at school, you know. So it's been fun. Like I said, I've been totally shocked. I'm very honored by it. This was not on my radar at all.
And, Duffy, it's a very interest. It's just funny how the world works that Joe Reed, the new Topper coach, his father going in as an assistant coach. And I saw he commented on Twitter the other day. He goes, "Doesn't get much better than that. Your boss, Hall of Famer. Your dad / assistant coach, Hall of Famer."
Yeah, that was amazing. I saw that. Joe sent me a text congratulating me and told me his dad was going in. I thought that was awesome because they're a great family and have been a good addition to Hillsborough High School.
Duffy, I've always loved you over the years, man. Congratulations. What an honor. And March 26th will be the ceremony in Champaign, correct?
Yes. I don't own a suit. I have to buy a suit, I guess.
Hey, it's 2021. You might not need a suit now. You might not need one.
Well, I've been told I have to buy one.
Oh.
So,
okay.
I will get one. And, March 26th at 1 o'clock.
Awesome. Duffy, congratulations, man.
Hey, I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. And thanks to you guys over all these years. What you guys do for high school sports in this area is awesome, and it really helps us as coaches and the kids out by you guys doing what you do.
Well, thank you very much, Duffy. It certainly is our pleasure to get to have a front row seat for a lot of the great accolades here over the years for the kids across the WSMI listening area. Aaron Duff, Hall of Famer 2022. And there you go, Sean. I guess he's got to go buy a suit. I thought maybe in 2021 you could get by, you know, more of a casual approach. But Hall of Fame is Hall of Fame.
See, that's why I needed a wife, because I will mail it in every time.
You get the tuxedo shirt?
You know, one time I had a the tuxedo shirt. At one time I had a collection of 8 leisure suits.
Oh, boy.
I was given.
Given, right. Sure, Sean, given.
Oh, yeah, literally. Oh,
right.
I wouldn't pay for such things.
No, of course not. No one would. It's like everyone hates Nickelback, but yet everything they have goes platinum. Someone's buying these albums. Someone was buying the leisure suits.
Bequeathed from her grandfather before he was in a bequeathable situation. And like, I don't know how I'd look in a leisure suit in 1992, but we'll find out. But I never had the guts.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Staunton girls basketball coach Corey Allen when Sports Saturday continues.
And the Sports Saturday show continues. Once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Balint.
Thank you very much, Randall. We got Fighting Illini basketball coming up this morning, 11 o'clock pregame coverage on 105.3 The Ox. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by Corey Allen, Staunton girls basketball coach. And good morning, Corey. Thank you for a few minutes.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, you guys are off to a very solid start, I would say. How would you assess the early portion of your season so far?
Kind of shocking. Like, I am surprised. I mean, they're a great group of girls, but I'm just surprised at how well we're playing together, on and off the court. And, you know, they're doing well so far. So it's fantastic.
Well, I just see a lot of balance. You know, look at the scoring, and whether it's Tietken, Frank, Feldman, Legender, they just seem to not only share the basketball nicely, but also understand, hey, there's the hot hand. Let's ride that hot hand and continue to succeed in these games.
Oh, for sure. And they know my, you know, one of my rules is, you know, we never talk about stats. Like we are, you know, I don't care how many points someone scores. I'm never going to tell them that. But we need to play as a team. And we have, you know, girls out there, you know, Savannah does a fantastic job at her role, you know, as a post player and rebounder. And I wish that she would shoot a little bit more. Brooke Kinder is fantastic out there. And Abby, you know, making her be a post at times is, you know, a difficult task, and going to a guard to a post, and, you know, just all of them. You know, Bandy does a great job out there as a freshman. So it's just a fun team that, you know, we could play a lot of people. So that's great.
And, Corey, you've got a bunch of just raw athletes on the floor. And when you've got that much athletic skill on the floor at any given time, it just causes problems.
It does cause problems, you know, and they're such a funny group that they don't really know what they're going to do either. So I wish that, you know, they were out there having a plan, but sometimes, you know, it's just, you know, an organized chaos out there that they're just going everywhere, but they're so quick, and they're just such a, you know, just a good group of girls that they listen and they want to be there, they want to get better, so that makes it a lot more fun.
Well, Coach, you're kind of like the Pentagon. You have these secret weapons you bring out. That looked pretty classic Thursday. The ugly sweater, I guess that's what I call it, the ugly sweater male cheerleaders rooting you on.
Oh, that was hilarious. They did a great job. I was so proud of those eighth grade boys. We scrimmaged them one Saturday, and we figured we would make it a little bit more fun and have a bet, and whoever lost had to cheer at the other game, you know, in costume. And they thought for sure they would beat us. And then they're like, "You're not really going to make us do that." I was like, "Yes, I am." So, but they did fantastic. So
I'm sure it's hard for a junior high boy to wrap their mind around. Wait a minute, we just lost to girls? Yeah, you did.
Exactly.
Corey,
they did. Yeah, then the freshman boys, they're like, "Can we cheer one day?" And I was like, "You guys like that?" They're like, "Yeah." I was like, "Well, sure, come and cheer."
Corey, does your group of girls, do they appreciate and understand how good of an athlete you were?
I don't think they have any idea. I don't think that I was very good. But so I don't know that they even know that I played, to be honest with you. We don't really ever talk about the past, and they're just, no, when my first year when I got there, which was only 2 years ago, but, you know, they're like, "Hey, did you ever play anything?" And I was like, "Oh, just a little bit." And I kind of left it at that. And they never asked, and we just went on our way.
Yeah, you dabbled, Corey. You dabbled.
That's right.
I guess,
you know, Coach. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Sean. I'm sorry.
I was going to say this is a team that is really soared through the season. Just a couple of bumps in the road. I know it's tough to take a one-point loss, and they seem to bounce back that well with Carlisle. And you go in and take on that paint-up program, and, you know, a team that, you know, otherwise is collecting W after W, you suffer a tough loss. What's been the key to bouncing back from that? Because I know you have one of those days, and it can kind of send the season the wrong way.
This is going to sound bad, but I think that – some of them, we're so used to losing because we just, last year was a rough, you know, a rough season for us. And it was a rough season for everyone, you know, and I try not to count that as a season because we didn't get to fully practice and do everything that we wanted to do, especially in the summer and whatnot. But I don't know that people really think anything of Staunton girls basketball. So we just focus on each game, you know. I mean, Pena was fantastic. I don't think that we were necessarily as bad as that loss, but they were very, very good. And, you know, they deserve all that credit. You know, Carlisle was a very scrappy team, you know, and they did well. And, you know, Western, when they beat us, they were a good team too. And we might see them in the Christmas tournament again. But we just really kind of focus on what can we do better and, you know, what do we need to work on each day. And they just come out ready to play. I think they truly appreciate that, you know, we get to play, and it's somewhat of a normal season so far. So,
and Corey, there is something to be said, though, for taking your lumps. You know, it hardened you.
It does. You know, I try not to, but yeah, it's hard to, you know, to get beat. And, you know, and even last year, they were a great group of girls, and they had, you know, they were athletic, and it was just a hard year because the conference was very, very good, you know, and the conference is still good, but a lot of those seniors graduated, and, you know, that just makes it hard, and people just tend to be like, oh, it's Staunton, you know, and so hopefully, you know, I tell the girls, you know, they're like, do you think that we're very good, you know, and I'm like, nope, I'm like, I would never say that. I hate, you know, when people are like, oh, we're such a great team. Like, we're not a great team. We're a good, you know, I always tell them we're a nice group of girls, and they all laugh, you know, like, that's what you say. I'm like, sometimes you lose the nice, and you're just a group of girls, and they're like, oh, okay.
Well, it sounds like more people need to pack the stands. I mean, not only, you know, you never know what fun's out there with the ugly sweater male cheerleaders, but also just a fun team to watch.
They are, you know, and we did the teacher appreciation night Thursday night, and I thought the girls did fantastic with that, you know, and getting the teachers there and announcing them and doing their little walkout song and dancing. So we try to make things fun just to get people in the stands, but, I mean, let's face it, there's just not a lot of girls basketball sometimes, but we're trying.
And, Corey, I guess if you could just get Harris Legender maybe to loosen up, you know, show her personality a little bit, that could be useful.
Oh, that girl is hilarious. I've never seen her in a bad mood. Like, she is just happy, laughs at everything, you know, and you never know what she's going to do.
Hey, that makes life fun, though, doesn't it? Because it could be a long winter sometimes.
It does. And we know how girls can be, so.
Corey, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. You've got an exciting, fun team to watch this year, and we look forward to watching you throughout the remainder of the run.
All right, well, thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right, you too. That is Corey Allen, the head girls basketball coach at Staunton. And, yeah, Sean, she totally, totally undersold her own athletic ability. Not surprising, of course, but
she was. I guess that's the key to her greatness.
Well, I'm sure it is. And, you know, that the Allen family, you know, that's like a sneaky, like, first family of athletics for Macoupin County. I mean, you think about her father, Terry. He was the basketball coach at Gillespie for a long time, assisting now at Staunton. But her brothers, TJ and Zach, when they were at Gillespie, I mean, they were fantastic. And you think about what her high school career was like. The Allen family, their careers at Gillespie, they could stack that up with any, you know, trio of siblings, and they're going to be a tough out.
I love it. And I just want to say this to comfort those eighth graders from Staunton. There should be no pain in losing to a girl. The problem is losing the girl. That's
there you go.
That's a good theme in life. I'm telling you, girls bring an exciting, unique component to athletics, and I think it's a lot of fun to watch them.
Whole lot of fun. Hey, we are out of time here on Sports Saturday.
Too.
11 o'clock with the Illini today on 105.3 The Ox. We'll have high school basketball on the radio Wednesday night. Hillsboro Pena live at 7:30 from Toppertown. Nokomis Litchfield will follow both ball games Wednesday night on FM 106.1 online at WQSMIRadio.com. For Sean Berlant and Randy Prangy, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done. Merry Christmas, everyone.